Everything that's done here at the church, it's a teamwork. And that's what really makes it possible. So I want to thank you all. Really, it should be your anniversary because you have walked alongside of us. It doesn't mean that we always agree on everything. A lot of people try for uniformity. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about unity, people working together, being a blessing. And that's really the heart of ministry. So thank you again. And as long as the Lord gives me strength and as long as the Lord says so, we will continue to do what the Lord would have us to do. Amen. But I love the Lord and I thank him for all that he's done. And some of us, we go way back to the first day I set foot here. And a young man with an afro way out there. And you all were taking a big risk. But thank God the Lord has made all of this possible. And we have many more things to do. There's much more work to be done. There's a community that we need to reach out to. And for that reason, we will be always challenged to do our very best. And when you've done the best of your service, then God, to him be all the glory and praise. Amen? Well, let me get into the word and help you to get it a little bit before we leave here today. But thank you once again and for everything that you do as a member of this church. Everybody is important in this church. Everybody, from the little baby to the eldest member. And by the way, I want to just give a shout out to Miss Ruby Mickles, our oldest member today. We thank God for her and her prayers and her support during this time. Let me direct you to our passage of scripture today. We're wrapping up our series on discovering the riches of God in relationships. Discovering how rich God has rewarded us through relationships. I invite you to Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and verse 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. Namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. There's no other commandment greater than these. For just a few minutes, I want to just share with you the value of relationships. How do you value relationships? You may be seated as we pray. God, we again thank you, Lord. I thank you for blessing us in this incredible journey. And Lord, I thank you for my darling wife that's been with me through all of those years and helping me. And God, I just thank you for your mercy and grace. None of us deserve your goodness, but we're so thankful that it's available. I pray you'd bless us now and let us learn, Lord, to love one another as you've given us commandment. And Father God, as we shall discover through this message today, loving others is a great challenge, but it's also a great blessing. Bless us now in our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that are joining us online, relationships are something that God is working through to bless others. You may have never met us here, but we have met you by way of reaching out. And relationship, when you think about that, it has to be an exchange between people. We've been looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Looking at that parable, and what we've been discovering is the fact that Samaritans and Jews didn't really get along, but Jesus used that to give an example. He used someone who was less likely to show those who probably knew better. He showed them and taught them some very valuable lessons about relationships. You're going to get a lot of things in this life, but to gain a friend is one of the most beautiful things. You're going to gain a lot of friends, but you can meet no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the heart of the gospel. I want to start off by telling you that our culture has basically drifted away from the idea that you ought to love your neighbor. COVID is only an example of how separated and disunified people can become in a matter of time. It has impacted us. It has impacted what we call neighborhood. But today we're going to redefine what our neighborhood really is. And it may just shake you up a little bit. So buckle your seatbelt and we'll go through this. The culture that we live in, and many in our Christian community, have wrongly defined our relationship with God as a vertical one only. And yet it involves also loving your neighbor. Please note the verse of scripture that we read today. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. This is the first command. And it says, and the second is like it. The second command is not only similar, but you use that same love that you say you love Jesus with, you use that same love to reach out to your neighbor. Now, of course, you don't worship your neighbor. You don't do that. But you use that gift of love to serve them and to help them. The Levitical law that Jesus was using in this illustration, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, it was to drive home several points that Jesus brings out. And I'll later conclude by going to the parable of the Good Samaritan. But point number one, loving thy neighbor is a command. It's a command. It's not something that you say, okay, hey, if I like you, I'll love you. That's not what Jesus said. It is a command. Notice Jesus said, no other commandment is greater than these. No other commandment. Which means, if God said do it, what do you got to do? You got to do it. Now, people don't have any problem. Oh, how I love Jesus. But the verse also says, love your neighbor. How are you to love your neighbor? You're to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love yourself, then you'd express that to your neighbor. Everybody got that? All right, so the first thing that Jesus brings out is loving your neighbor is a command. Second thing that Jesus brings out in this parable, in this lesson that he teaches, the neighbor could be anyone and anywhere. That's where we draw the line. It could be anyone, anywhere, at any time. You get that? When he brings it out in the parable that he spoke to us from Mark 12, Jesus said, three people walked that road. Well, actually four, because you had the thieves. The thieves, they had their mind set on, I'm going to take what ain't mine and I'm going to enjoy it. So they robbed the man, they injured him, and then they left him half dead. That's one group of people. So loving your neighbor would mean something that we need to at least acknowledge, hey, I ain't gonna hurt you. Anybody in the house? But the priest and the Levite came that same way, went in that same direction on Jericho Road. By the way, there's certain places people don't go because they say, I don't like that neighborhood. But now, if Jesus said your neighborhood could be anybody, any place, you can't pick and choose which neighborhoods you're going to like and which neighbors you're going to like. By the way, people that are from such neighborhoods that you don't like, they don't always stay in the neighborhood because they have to go other places. Anybody in the house? So if I'm going to love anybody at any time and any place, that means I've got to accept people as they are. You got bad people living in good neighborhoods. I ain't hear nobody. And you got good people living in bad neighborhoods. You cannot say because you're from there, you don't mean anything. You are devaluing them. I'm not going to get too deep in this message today because I know y'all looking at the clock. But Jesus said, if you are to love your neighbor, not only is it commanded, but it's also you need to recognize that that person could be anyone at any place. It's whoever God brings across your path. Does God have the right to bring different people across our path? Of course he does. And so we ask the question, what are you going to do to love your neighbor? And your neighbor could be anybody, any place, at any time. Everybody in the house. Third thing Jesus brings out in the parable in his teaching, when we say we're going to love the Lord our God with all our mind, our soul, our strength, and our heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Third thing that Jesus brings out, loving your neighbor depends on valuing them. And that's what really I'm going to talk about today. How do you value people? I have a background in accounting, a degree from Lynchburg College, now University of Lynchburg. But one of the things they taught us is that you have these things called assets and liabilities, right? Then whatever's left over is the equity, whatever you have in it. But you assign a value to it. And some of us, when we meet people, we immediately classify them as a liability. Oh, no, I ain't dealing with you. You're going to cost me. You're going to take something from me. When really, you don't know. Look at somebody for the first time, ask them, who is my neighbor? Jesus said it could be anybody, anywhere, at any time. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So how do I go about valuing people that I don't know, haven't even met them, but God in his divine providence will probably bring them across my path? He will not ask me to determine their value based on where they're from. He will ask me to determine their value based on what he wants me to do. I bring you to the Jericho Road. I bring you to that Jericho Road because it really opens up to us four different things that we need. If we're going to value people, there are four things that you must give them when they cross your path. Remember, could be anybody, anytime, in any place. I want to ask yourself, you need to ask yourself a question now. Do I really love my neighbor? Ain't nobody said nothing. Lord have mercy. Pastor got us all riled up. We don't know who our neighbor is and we don't know where they could be from. But listen, if you're equipped with these things, if you're equipped with these, and the Samaritan was, remember. By the way, he wasn't a man that went to church because he was from that bad neighborhood. He was from Samaria. Those folks were half religious, right? You couldn't count on them. Yet he had something. So my question to you is, what do you have if you're going to be a good neighbor? First thing you got to do, by the way, I want to give you a couple of sayings that I read in preparing for the message. One was by a person called themselves Asayako, whoever that is. But they wrote something that's interesting. They said, value the people who sacrifice their something for you because maybe that something was everything that they had. Value the people who sacrifice their something for you because maybe their something was everything that they had. A lot of us are so hasiditty and proud. I don't want certain things from certain folk. Oh, I can hear you. And back in the day, we call it being uppity. But when you value people, you're going to accept their sacrifice because it may be the very best that they had. And when you do that, you automatically form a bond by saying, you matter to me. Second saying that I read, the same people who can deny others everything are famous for giving themselves or refusing to give themselves nothing. They want everything, but they refuse to. Let me read it again. Get some of y'all writing this down. The same people who can deny others everything are famous for refusing themselves nothing. I want it all, but I don't want to give you anything. my goodness. What did Reverend Coleman, what are you saying to us? I'm saying that you possess something today. If God wants you to be a good neighbor, he would never place more on you than what you are capable of doing, right? So in order to be a good neighbor, you've got to recognize if the Lord's going to bring someone with a problem or with a situation your way, God has automatically equipped you enough to handle it. Look at somebody and tell them, I can handle it. So being a good neighbor, think about that and think about the value of relationships. Walter Winchell is quoted as saying, a friend is someone who walks out when the rest of the world A friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. I like that. The world with this Samaritan had walked out. Now he's left alone to die, and he would have died. Let's go to the people that robbed him. What did they do? They disrespected that person. They took something that did not belong to them. So rule number one, if I'm going to value people, I must respect my neighbor. I must respect them. I must respect their property. I must respect who they are. I must respect their reputation. I've got to respect them. That's rule number one. Now, you can't give everybody everything, but you can give them respect. Even when people don't agree with you. Hello. Even when folk don't look like you or talk like you, or they may not even be from your side of the town, you should and you must give them that respect. You see, respect is really in that love that you would have if someone was treating you a certain way. You'd say, well, hey, I want people to treat me a certain way. Treat them that way. If the robbers had had respect for this man, they would have never robbed him. They would have gotten a job. Why folk out there robbing other people when you can get a job? They're paying good wages nowadays. Lord have mercy. If I wasn't retired, I'd go get me one of these jobs. You know what I'm saying? People looking for hanging a sign out and yet folk robbing each other. Makes no sense. But if I'm going to be a good neighbor, as a matter of fact, I want to be your neighbor. And the number one thing I've got to give you is respect. I've got to give that. If I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, I've got to give them respect. Second thing that we find that happens is that when the people that should have given him respect, like the priest, you're supposed to care for the needs of people. What did he do? He saw the man walk by on the other side. I don't want to have anything to do. Do we treat folk like that? Come on, y'all be for real. Man, I ain't got time. I see a situation. Oh, Lord, here they come again. If you're going to be a good neighbor, you got to at least respect them. It's all right to look people in the face and say, hey, I can't help you this time. Check me out a little bit later, but I appreciate you stopping by. The priest and the Levite, although they were not as bad as the robbers, they were also guilty of a crime. They were guilty of the crime. You say, preacher, what is that crime that they were guilty of? They were guilty of emotional injuries. You know what it's like to be in a need and people to see you and know that you're in a need and they walk by or they just tune you out? In other words, have y'all ever had this to happen? It happens with church folk a lot of time. Oh, I know, they say, here we go. You ever seen church folk and you speak to them and they act like they don't see? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You kind of, hey! They act like you lost your mind. You owe people respect. You owe them. I tell people, if you're going to talk to folk, look them in the face and tell them, how you doing? Doesn't mean you got to like everything about them, But if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you owe them that respect. Second thing that happens with people that are in need, you've got to recognize that there is a need. You may not have the capacity to do everything they want, but look at the Levite. He came over, looked at the man. So automatically you've assessed his condition. Call 911. You don't have to do it yourself, but at least engage in meeting the person's need. Let me tell you something. Every one of us in this room, at some place, sometime, you're going to need somebody. Amen. Dean Martin, many years ago, used to have this song, "Everybody needs somebody sometime." You're going to need somebody in your life. Never think that you can live in that ivory tower and not have a need to hit you. Because you don't know when it's going to hit. You don't know where it's going to take place. Who knows if the Good Samaritan who showed compassion had not been robbed on that same Jericho road? Who knows whether that had happened to him? Jesus didn't reveal that in the parable, but it could have. But thank God, he knew how to respond. Meeting needs is what church is all about. It's not just coming together for a ceremony. It's not just saying prayers and calling on the Lord and singing. Yes, that's part of it, but you're to love your neighbor as yourself. You've already given God your worship. Now give people your time. Let them know that you care about them. So the first thing we do is respect thy neighbor. Second thing, recognize thy neighbor's need. The third thing that we have to do if we're going to value people is respond to the challenge to care. Respond to that challenge. Now, here's the thing I like. Why would God put you in a place where someone needs your help and not equip you with what you need to help them? I'm going to show you how the power of the Spirit works. The Spirit of God doesn't just work in church when you're worshiping. The Spirit of God works when you're out there saying, "Lord, I care enough to do what I can." Here's what the Bible says. If you give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, you've already received your reward. Do I have any witnesses in here? And what we've seen displayed here at Crossroad is that if everybody does a little, nobody has to do a lot. Are y'all in the house? If everybody would work together and stop complaining. Oh, wait a minute, that's another sermon for another time. Let me get back to the sermon. You've got to respond to the challenge. Here was a Samaritan. He responded to the challenge. How did he respond? He responded by caring. The Bible said when he went over and assessed the situation, he had compassion. Where does compassion come from? It comes from your love and your relationship with God. Love can generate in no other place except from the throne room of heaven. When you've got the love of God in your heart, you're going to automatically have the love of God in your action. You're going to automatically reach out and say, "Wait a minute, I want to do what I can." What if the world were filled with people who said, "I want to do what I can," rather than people who are always finding something wrong? What if the world had enough people inside of it to say, "You know what, we're on the positive side. We want to be able to change the world." I believe there are folks in this church that can do that. I believe that folks in this church have actually changed people's lives by the very things you did. Why is that, preacher? Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And they asked, Lord, when did we see you homeless? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you not having or thirsty and not provided for you?" Jesus said, "Well, if you did it for my brother over here, my sister over there, then you've done it for me." Not only are you loving others as you love yourself, you're really loving God. I'm about to close. One more point. So point number one, respect thy neighbor. Point number two, recognize your neighbor's need. Point number three, respond to the challenge to care. But then the last thing, redeem the time with your neighbor. Redeem the time with your neighbor. One of the things that we looked at in this situation, and I had missed it, almost missed it, and the condition of that person who was wounded. Yes, he was wounded. He was on the side of the road, but guess what? He was also alone. Alone. We live in a world about 8 billion people at this time. Well, COVID takes some of them out, but there are about between 7 and 8 billion people who live on this planet. And sadly, many people have to live by themselves. They only have minimal communication. And why is that? Oh, we're just busy. Even sometimes when families get together, everybody's head is into the cell phone. Are y'all in the house? People are lonely. They're saying, where is my neighbor? And one of the best ways for you to be a good neighbor is to redeem your time with your neighbor. I use that term because redemption means something to the church of God. Redemption means something to us. And the word actually goes into the fact that you're ransoming someone, you're purchasing them. So when you give people your time, you're really putting up something. The most valuable resource that you will have in this world is your time. Mark that down. Well, I got money in the bank. I tell you what, that money in the bank cannot increase your time. But when you got time that you can share with others, that's when you find out I'm giving this person something valuable. Notice, please, that the good Samaritan went about doing something good for this person. He not only took care of his immediate needs, but he put him on his beast, took him down to the inn, paid for him to stay there, spent time with him. How much time are you spending with people today? If you're a good neighbor, and you're going to reach out to someone that you don't know, and you got to be willing to give them respect. You got to be willing to know what their need is. You got to be willing to share with them according to your ability. In other words, to care for them. But then you got to be willing to spend some time. We're a nation of high and by. We just wave at people. And your automobiles have made it convenient. Now you just blow the horn at them. And really, that blowing the horn means get out of my way. I'm busy. That's the world that we've created. Jesus invites us back to a real world where people are real neighbors. If you think about redemption and what it means to us, we redeem the time. Redemption really means that when you didn't have a friend, Jesus was your friend. God loved you when nobody else loved you. When you were unlovable, God loved you. God sacrificed for you. And now what he's doing, he's equipping you and telling you, I want you to do for others what I've done for you. You may not have all the miracles. You may not have all the power. But if you just simply do what you can, I'm going to get in your hands. I'm going to get into your walk. I will get into your words. And I will cause you to be a good neighbor for somebody in this world. I close this message challenging Crossroad. Make a friend that you've never made before. Meet somebody that you've never met before, and be aware of the fact that it may be a person in need who will become your greatest friend. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. I pray that I've said something to share the insight of what your word is all about. And even though I've only scratched the surface, I know that your Holy Spirit will move upon hearts and change this message into a very powerful, deep thought in the hearts of your people. Bless us to not only say we're the church, but to also be the church. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give the invitation. For 43 years, I've love giving the invitation because it is to meet a great friend. It is to meet a Savior, a God who loves you deeply. The God who runs this universe wants to be your personal friend and for you to share that friendship with others. So if someone is listening online or in here and the Lord has touched your heart, I want you to respond to him. Open up your heart. Say, Lord, it's time. It's time for me to meet you. for you to be my God and for me to be your child. If that's you today, say yes to Jesus. Say yes to his will. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your love. Save that person that needs your salvation. We give you all the glory and praise. And Lord, I pray over the communion that as we celebrate your sacrifice, what you gave for us, may we do so in a way, Lord, that we can share the joy and love that only comes from you. You gave your body on that cross. You gave your blood as you shed for us for the remission of our sin. May we receive it today with gratitude and love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are at home, you have an opportunity to share with us now in the communion. If you have not done so, we ask that you grab a wafer and some grape juice as we will look to the Lord and celebrate what he has done for us. Jesus didn't have to do what he did, but I'm so glad that he was our friend. Aren't you glad today? There's someone that needs to be served. We ask that you raise your hand and we can get you a communion. On the night of his betrayal, the Bible said he took the bread and he blessed it. I find it ironic that that same night he was the best friend of the world and yet he was betrayed by his own friends. That's how life works sometimes. But thanks be to God, we have a friend in Jesus.
It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength.
Together. And now let us take the cup. Let us drink together. The Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn. A joyous church goes out into a world that's in need, but they're singing because they know that God is real. Amen? I want to close with a little bit different hymn this morning. There are some things, put your hands together, I may not know, may we all stand. Oh, there are some places I can't even go. But I am sure of this one thing, Yes, God is real. Yes, God is real.
Yes, God is real.
Oh, it's real in my soul.
Real in my soul.
Yes, God is real. For He has washed and made me whole. Oh, His love for me. Just like pure gold. Yes, God is real. For I can feel Him in my soul. Thank you again, church, for 43 years, and we look forward to God for 43 more. Well, I'm in heaven or down here. So, amen. May the grace of God, may the love of Jesus and the mercy of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in our hearts forevermore. And all the church said, God bless you.